Tim Hadley is going to introduce the subject for us this afternoon.
Okay, good afternoon to everyone. That's really bad. Good afternoon to everyone. That's a little bit better. At least you're awake. The other day when we first started our study, we looked at the thought of our identity in Christ. And we began by thinking about the thought that we are born of God. And we're born again, born of God. And we looked at the different places here in Peter where he mentions that we're born of God. And that was really one of the beginning places for us as Christians to recognize that we have a new life in Christ and that our life is hidden in Christ, and that we looked at the different characteristics, the different features, birthmarks, if you will, to prove that we are born of God. And we looked in 1 John and we compared some things there. And today we want to look at the fact that our identity is derived from our destination. Where we're going, our identity is determined by keeping in our forefront of our minds of where we're going, where we're going to end up. And this is the thought, that we are pilgrims. And a pilgrim is somebody who's not home yet. He's not home yet. We're going to look tomorrow at a stranger, and I'll let, I think it's Steve, give the definition of a stranger tomorrow. But my definition of a stranger is someone that doesn't belong. And a pilgrim is somebody that's going home. And so when we think of that, we sang, we're not home yet. And so we think of that. And I want to begin again at 1 Peter chapter 1. I'd like for us to just read, if somebody could read, again, verses 1 through 4 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Somebody would feel free to read that for us.
First Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ.
I think you're in Second Peter.
Oh,
sorry.
My apologies. You're right.
That's next year. No, I'm just
kidding. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
Excellent. Thank you. One of the things that stand out to me as we read this, these verses, is that these first five or six verses actually have to do with what God has done. They are positional from God's point of view. As God sees you, this is how God sees you. It was from the foreknowledge of God, it says, to the foreknowledge you were elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That's the first thing that we talked about last time. And then by the sanctification of the Spirit, we want to dwell a little bit on that today, for the obedience of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we mentioned that the purpose was God the Father's. The power is in the sprinkling of the blood. That's the power, and we talked about that last time. But I want to talk about the position, sanctification. This thought of the fact that you and I, God has set us apart. And that's the meaning of sanctification, right? That God has set us apart. Now, we are set apart not only to be here, but we're set apart to where we're going. And that's our destination. So our identity, keeping in mind of who we are, if we could put it very simply, We are a set apart people. And we often lose sight of that. And I think we'll dwell on that a little bit more when we emphasize the stranger tomorrow. But thinking of that, and then thinking of the fact that in verse 4, he emphasizes again the inheritance. This is what we have. This is who we are. This is what we have in God. And then in verse 5, which we didn't read, but in verse 5 he says, you're not only born for glory, you're kept for glory. This is who you are. You're kept for glory. And he says you're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So with that as an introduction, there's only one other place when they first sent me the outline. I was at camp, and they sent me the outline, and they said, you're going to take on Tuesdays, and you're going to do the pilgrim. So I said, okay. So I read through 1 Peter, and I read through 1 Peter, and I read through 1 Peter. I kept reading through 1 Peter, and I only found the word pilgrim twice. I said, this is going to be a really short meeting. But the thought of being a pilgrim is all through this book. The only other place, and I want to draw our attention to it, in chapter 2, and then we're going to come back to chapter 1, and I got some questions that I want to spring on us. But in...
I'm just going to interrupt him to say that depending on your translation, you might not realize that one of the pilgrim references has already been mentioned, and it's in chapter 1. Some translations say strangers, but pilgrims is in that first verse. Really, it's the same word as the one Tim's going to take us to now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. The second one, then, is in chapter 2, verse 11. And if someone could just read that for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11.
Now, I urge you as aliens and strangers, to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. You want verse 12 also?
Yeah, go ahead.
Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation.
Very good. In the New King James, it says sojourners and pilgrims. The idea of an alien is a stranger, somebody that doesn't belong in that country, right? And the idea of a pilgrim is somebody that's passing through that country. And so here in the New King James, it says pilgrim. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, realizing that there is a definite conflict. There's a definite conflict here in this scene, in this wilderness scene that we've been singing about. There's a definite conflict for us as pilgrims as we're passing through. Everything in this wilderness scene, as we've sung, everything goes against the pilgrim character that we are in Christ. And so we need to keep that in mind, because that's who our identity is. So with that sort of as an introduction, I want us to just approach this then and look at a few verses. I'd like for you to just scan. It's going to be maybe an awkward bit of silence just for a second, but that's okay. I want you to look in chapter 1 and just scan chapter 1 and see what you can find that would outline what our conduct ought to be because of who we are as pilgrims. There's a conflict, but in that conflict, what ought our conduct be? And just scan chapter 1 and see what you come up with. And as soon as you find something, just share it.
It says in verse 13, being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's talking about the hope that we have for our future home. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to talk about not being conformed to the passions of our former ignorance. So not being in the pattern of the world that we're in anymore. but instead being holy, being set apart again. You also be holy, verse 15, in all your conduct.
Excellent. That's right where I wanted to go. Thank you. I didn't talk to him earlier.